I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, Apostle Paul will begin the practical part of this epistle. In Ephesians chapter 1 to chapter 3, Apostle Paul has expounded on the doctrine of salvation. And from chapters 4 onwards, he will now be making practical applications regarding this doctrine of salvation. So if we understand this doctrine of salvation, how are we then to live? You will notice from chapters 4 onwards, one of the key words that is found repeated is the word walk. For example, if you look at verse 1, Apostle Paul will say, walk worthy, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. If you go down to verse 17, he continues to say, ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk. And this word walk will be found throughout the rest of these chapters. And this is to emphasize the Christian conduct, because this walk describes the living of this Christian life. It describes our Christian conduct, our Christian living. And in the midst of the describing of this walk, Apostle Paul used this illustration of the body of Christ to portray the church. And this tells us something that is very important. It means that our Christian walk must not be thought upon as something that we are doing on our own. This walk cannot be thought of apart from the church. Our Christian life, our spiritual life, is not separated from the life of the church. And this is why in the first part of Ephesians chapter 4, Apostle Paul describes the church and he used the illustration, the picture of the body of Christ to portray that of the church. Paul wants us to understand, using this picture, what is the purpose, the place of the church? And this body of Christ, as this picture, is a very wonderful and a very beautiful picture to describe and to portray different aspects of the life of the church. What is the life of the church? What is the purpose of the church? What is the life of the church like? The church is not to be like the community centers of the world. It is not just a place of gathering of people who have common interests or have common hobbies, and then they just gather here to do something. That is what the community centers of the world it is like. But the church is different. And so what is the purpose of the church? Why do we gather here? Why is the church so important? Using this picture, we will seek to understand this evening. So there are just three thoughts that we can learn from this passage, from verse 11 to verse 16. Three things which we can see concerning the body of Christ, which will tell us what the church is to be. From verse 11 to verse 13, Apostle Paul first tells us and shows us the perfecting of the body of Christ. This will tell us what the purpose of the church is to be. In verse 11, Apostle Paul describes the various gifts that has been given to God's people in the church. Now, these gifts are spiritual gifts, and they are not found outside the church. This means that only God's people, believers, the children of God, they can possess these spiritual gifts. And these gifts have been given as tools for the perfecting of the saints. Now you notice that I have chosen for my first point the word perfecting of the body of Christ. And this word is actually found in verse 12, where in verse 12, Apostle Paul says, for the perfecting of the saints. Now this word perfecting describes the equipping. It means that a person is properly trained. So he is prepared. This is the idea of the perfecting. He's well trained, he's well and properly, completely equipped. He's prepared for the work of the ministry. But what are the tools that are given to us for the perfecting of the saints? That is where the spiritual gifts comes in. In verse 11, these spiritual gifts are the tools that God has provided, that God has given for the perfecting of the saints. Now you notice that these spiritual gifts that he describes here, Yeah, and by the way, this is not an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. There are other passages in the Bible that will give us and describe other spiritual gifts. So we know that this list is not an exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. But Apostle Paul wanted to emphasize a very specific type of spiritual gifts. You notice that he mentioned here the gifts of apostles and prophets. Now, the apostles simply describe those who have been sent out. And there are at least two different types of apostles that we see described in the Bible. One is the apostle used to describe the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the apostles who have been sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. These would be like Peter, James, John, Apostle Paul himself. And these apostles are those who have witnessed the resurrected Lord. The Bible uses this word apostle to describe other people like Barnabas. But that is a different sense in which the apostle is used. In the sense used in the case of Barnabas, is used to describe the sending out by the church. By the church in Jerusalem, where Barnabas was sent out as a missionary. But in the case of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And one of the very unique areas of the ministries of these apostles is that they have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to also write scriptures, specifically the New Testament scriptures. Now you notice that there's another gift, another ministry that's mentioned here, and that is the prophets. Now the prophets have this very unique role of foretelling and forthtelling. Now, foretelling means to predict the future. Before an event occurs or takes place, the prophet will prophesy and will tell the people of God what will happen. That's foretelling. And then to foretell is the ministry of warning, is the ministry of rebuke. And we see that very in the Old Testament, especially in the minor prophets as well as the major prophets, where prophets like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, Daniel, they engage in this ministry, both of warning as well as in prophesying concerning the future. Now for us today, in the very strict sense of the word, there are no longer any apostles or prophets today. There are no apostles in the sense that there are no apostles that have been commissioned and sent out directly by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there are no prophets who have this unique ministry of foretelling and forthtelling where they receive a direct revelation from God himself. And the reason why I believe Apostle Paul emphasized the apostles and the prophets is because these two ministries were given specifically for the writing of scriptures. The apostles to write the New Testament scriptures and the prophets to write the Old Testament scriptures. And then Apostle Paul goes on to say the evangelist and then some pastors and teachers. Now the evangelist comes from the word meaning to evangelize. And the word evangelize comes from the word where we get the word gospel, is to give off the good news. So an evangelist is someone who preaches the gospel. Now, the distinction between an evangelist and a pastor or a teacher could be that the evangelist is someone who goes from place to place like a missionary to preach the gospel. And his focus is not so much to stay in a particular local church to take care of one flock. And you may say that an evangelist, the focus of his ministry then, is to preach the gospel to bring in more souls through the working of the Holy Spirit into the church. And then the role of the pastors and the teachers will be to continue to build up those who have been brought into the church. Where the pastors and the teachers, the idea of pastor means to shepherd, to take care of the flock, to guide the flock through the teaching of God's word. Now, I believe that the pastors and teachers here, this describes the same ministry. So these two words here describe the same role. The pastors and the teachers. That is, pastors are to be teachers of God's word. And so you notice that all these gifts here focuses on one very unique aspect. Now, there are other gifts that the Bible describes. Okay, for example, the gift of governing, of administration. That would describe other spiritual gifts in the church. But here, the Apostle Paul deliberately emphasized the word aspect, the ministry of the word. Why? Because this is the tool and the equipment that God has given for the perfecting of the saints. Now, why do we come to the church? What is the purpose of the church? What does the church center upon? The foundation must be the word of God. And it has been emphasized over and over again that every ministry of the church must be based on the principles of God's word. Everything that is done, the philosophy of the ministry, the method of the ministry, the purpose of the ministry, it is based on the word. And this is why the word of God is that which is the equipment, the tool, that which is given to us to the perfecting of the saints. And as we have the word, the church, the body of Christ, can then be perfected. Now, what is the meaning of perfected? Now, you notice in verse 12 and verse 13, this perfecting and the word perfect is used. But these two words are actually two different words. In verse 12, you have the word perfecting. This word means to be completely equipped, to be trained. But the word in verse 13 is a different word. A perfect man. The word perfect there describes to be mature. A mature man. Someone who is grown up. And what Apostle Paul is saying here is that these gifts have been given not for competition, not for comparison, but the purpose is for the perfecting, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, the work here describes a work that is filled with energy. And the ministry describes, this is the word from where we get the word deacons. It describes service. So these spiritual gifts, especially in the building up in God's word, is given to us so that we can be filled with energy in God's service, in the ministry. Now it's interesting that this word ministry, from where we get the word deacons, actually comes from the root word, which means to wait. Like a waiter. You know, when you look at the waiter in the restaurant, what are the waiters actually waiting for? They are not waiting to go home. Okay? The waiters are actually waiting to serve. They are watching out, looking at the customers. If the customers need any help or they need to take their orders, then they are ready to immediately go and to serve. And that's the idea over here. The word of God is given to us so that we'll be properly equipped so that we can serve in the body of Christ. And this serving will lead to the building up, the edifying. Now, the word edifying there literally means to build up, that the body of Christ can be built up. Now, this is what the church is to be. When we gather here week after week, when we gather to study God's word, when we gather to listen to sermons, when we gather to pray and to share in fellowship one with another, what is the purpose of this? Is where God has given to us his word so that we'll be equipped as saints, that we can continue to serve one another, that we can continue to be built up, and we can continue to grow in the faith. That is the perfecting of the body of Christ. And this must be done. We must continue to strive on, Apostle Paul says in verse 13, until we all come in the unity of faith. Now the word till here means until, or as far as. Okay? Until we all come, that means we arrive at or we reach in the unity of faith. I believe here that this word faith describes the body of truth. That means that the word of God, the ministries of the word, the gifts, the spiritual gifts concerning the word especially, has been given so that we will be built up, that we can come and arrive at a common faith, a common understanding of the doctrines of the word of God, and that we also come and we'll arrive at the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, this is an experiential knowledge where we know the Lord Jesus Christ intimately.
Now, this is what the church is striving to do. The ministry of the church is striving so that we can come to share in the same conviction, the same doctrine, so that we can experience the Lord Jesus Christ in a real way. The reason why the Word of God is taught is not so that we just can have an academic understanding of who God is or who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's not something that's theoretical, but it's something that should be very real to us, that we can live out this knowledge of the Son of God, so that we can become a perfect man, that is a mature man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, the stature here describes someone who is like a grown-up man who reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is the purpose of the body of Christ? This is the perfecting. It's so that we can be grown up, we can be mature, that we can reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can continue to build one another up. This is what the church strives to be, and this is why the church is so important. The body of Christ, the church, some have despised the importance of the body of Christ. No, they think that simply becoming a Christian is enough. After they have believed in the gospel and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, then they can live their own life. And so they say that now, especially with technology, maybe you can just listen to sermons online. Why do we have to come and become a member of a church? Why do we have to be part of a church? And they think that it is not important. But to be a part of the church, the edifying, the building up, the encouraging, especially with the spiritual gifts which centers upon the Word of God, is so that we can be well equipped, we can be well prepared, that we can continue to grow and to build, be built up so that we can reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. This is what the body of Christ is to be. Now, Apostle Paul will explain to us why this is so important and so necessary today. And that's because he says in verse 14 that in our age and time, there will be people, there will be the devil who will seek to hinder the growth of the body of Christ. And in verse 14, what Apostle Paul shows us is that the body of Christ will serve as our protection. That is where we have the protection in the body of Christ. If you do not find this safety, if you do not find this fellowship, and if you do not find this building up and this edifying in the body of Christ, then do you realize that this is the danger that you would be in? He says in verse 14, we need to be part of this body of Christ. When we are born again as believers, we are part of the body of Christ, but we need to come and share in this building up of one another so that we henceforth, that means from now onwards, we will no longer be children. Now, this seems to imply that for the Ephesian Christians, some of them already were believers, they were born again, but they were living like children. Now, the word children here describes the very young kind of children, like an infant, like babes. So there were some Christians who were already born again, but they were living like babes. They were thinking like babes. They were behaving like babes. And when you look at very young children, especially those infants, what do you see? You see children who are very vulnerable. You see children who are naive. They are very easily led astray. They are helpless. They are defenseless. They can be pulled to one direction and to the other. They are very easily influenced. They do not have the discernment to know what is dangerous, what is good for them, what is bad for them. That's what we see in children, especially so when we see very, very young children, infants. They do not even have the sense of danger. But what Apostle Paul tells us is that we are living in this world which is filled with dangers. We need to know what the world is trying to do. The world is going to try, Apostle Paul says, to toss us to and fro. Now, the picture that Apostle Paul used here is the picture of like a boat in the sea or in the ocean. And then it's being swayed, it's being tossed about at sea, where it's rudderless. It does not have a direction. And then it's just being carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, this again follows the same picture, the same illustration, where you can imagine like a little boat in the ocean that is lost. And all around it, it has no, you cannot see the land. All you see is water. And where the wind blows, it is carried. This is the idea that is used over here. If Christians are not built up in the Word of God, it is not, if Christians are not properly equipped, are not well prepared, especially for the spiritual warfare that we have to face, then we will be so easily carried to and fro. Now he says we'll be carried here by every wind of doctrine. That is teachings. There'll be some attacks which would come by way of teachings. What are the new doctrines, the new teachings that we hear about today? Do you know how dangerous they are? Do you know how subtle they are? When you hear of perhaps your friends in your workplace, maybe they also say that they are Christians. And then they tell you of this new book written by this author. And they say that this is very interesting. They have read this book and they find this book very interesting, very good. And then they recommend this book to you. Then are you able to discern? Or would you simply say, oh yes, this is a very good writer. No, it's very captivating. Are you able to discern the doctrines? What are the movements that we see today? New Calvinism, for example. Do you know what is New Calvinism? This new wave of doctrine that we find being sweeping throughout Christendom? Of course, in more distant history, still rather relatively recent in our times, the movements of the charismatic movements, the ecumenical movement. Do you know of all these waves of movements, these doctrines? What are they teaching? Are you able to discern these things? Because Apostle Paul says that these things will creep in. And these things, when they creep in, it will creep in with the sleight of men, by the sleight of men. Now, the word sleight here is a very interesting word. Because it literally means, it comes from the Greek word, which means a cube. And it is a cube because it's used to describe a dice. It's used in the sense of gambling. Okay, when gamblers gamble in the gambling den, and then they have these dice which they throw. But there are some who are very tricky. They are very cunning. They know how to use the sleight of hand and then to cheat when they gamble. And so Apostle Paul says that this is the sleight of men, where they use trickery. And then they also not only use trickery, they use cunning craftiness. Now this word cunning craftiness describes a cunning deception. It's a very subtle kind of deception where they will lie in wait. Now here it has the idea of they will ambush you. They will lie in wait in order to deceive you. Do you know that this world is very deceptive? It will try to lure you in. It will try to entice you. If you talk to some who have strayed away from their faith, and maybe even some Christians who, for a moment in their life, have entered and strayed away into the world, and by the grace of God, they have been brought back. If you talk to them, ask them, share with you their testimony. What first enticed them into the things of the world? They will tell you that sometimes, and oftentimes in fact, it is something that is very subtle. They do not even notice, and they do not even sense the beginning of their backsliding. Oftentimes we know that backsliding does not happen overnight. Right? You do not see a Christian who is one day, you know, worshipping the Lord, serving very fervently, and then the next day he just suddenly disappears. Usually and oftentimes backsliding happens over a course and a period of time. But the dangerous thing is that we usually don't notice when the effects of backsliding has already crept into the lives of even a believer. We usually only see the results and the consequences, the effects of it, when today he's here and then tomorrow he's no longer here. Tomorrow he's in the world. But the dangers, the deception of the world oftentimes has already crept into the hearts of such a person. He may be worshipping here still, but his attention is no longer on the Word of God. Slowly, subtly, he begins to question the authority of the Word of God. And then as he now sees the world, he's enticed by it, he's attracted by it. He wants to enjoy and taste more of it. These things are slowly gripping him. And he does not realize even, he may not even realize that his heart has already been taken by the things of the world. Very subtly, through trickery, this is how the world will try to snatch us unto itself. And what will be our protection? And that's why the Apostle Paul says, we need the Word of God. We need to have apostles, prophets. Of course, these two officers are no longer with us today in the very strict sense of the word. But we need the Word of God, the ministry of the Word, to continue to be our foundation so that we'll be well-equipped, we'll be well-prepared to live this Christian life, to be building one another up, to be encouraging one another, to be reminding one another, so that when we go back into the world, when we meet all these deceptions, when we are lured and when we are being enticed, we would immediately be able to identify these dangers and not be tossed to and fro. We would have the conviction, we would have the foundation and the certainty. When we think of men like Daniel, remember Daniel in the Bible, who was able for at least 80 years of his life, you know, ministering as a prophet in Babylon. When we think of men like Daniel, who was able to withstand against the enticement, to stand firm for the faith when everyone else would bow their knee to worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. When we think of men like that, we need to realize that it all began with the foundation, their conviction in the Word of God. We remember how Daniel, even at the very beginning, the Bible says that he purposed in his heart. And this is where we can find such a conviction, such a foundation in the body of Christ. When we continue to edify one another, build one another up in the Word of God. This is what the body of Christ serves to do. The protection. And with this defense and this protection, Apostle Paul says that we can then progress on in the body of Christ. We need to be guarded and defended so that we can continue to grow. You may liken the deception and the attack of the world to diseases. So to the various kinds of diseases that we would face in the physical realm that seeks to attack our bodies. And what this would do is that it would try to attack our bodies so that our bodies would die. And when we are sick, we know that we are unable to grow. That's why we need to defend ourselves against such diseases, prevent it from spreading, not to allow it to enter into our bodies so that we can grow, the progress in the body of Christ. And that's the third thing from verse 15 to verse 16. If we have the Word of God to guard us, to protect us, we have the tools that have been given to us, the equipping, and we understand the purpose of the body of Christ, we protect ourselves against these false teachings, then we can grow in Christ. That's what verse 15 and verse 16 continues to say. We speak the truth in love, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now the truth in love must be spoken. Hey, again, the emphasis on the Word of God. The Word of God being declared in love. And you notice that love will frame these two verses because in the end of verse 16, the Apostle Paul also talks about the building up of one another in love. This describes the motive. Right? The motive that is out of love. the exercising of this gift in love, where we love one another, we care for one another, we want to protect one another in love. And this will lead to the growing up. So the growth must be based on the Word of God. And this growth here, the word grow up, describes the quality of the growth, where a person will increase in stature. See, there's a kind of growth where we can just grow in terms of age. All of us are progressing every year, every day, in terms of age. We are growing older every day. We are growing older every year. But it's just in terms of our age. And as we grow older, even though you may increase in the number of years, it doesn't mean that you are actually growing. Even physically, there can be people who have been growing in years, but they have not been growing physically. Then there is a serious condition that this person is facing. Spiritually, it is the same. There may be people who may be growing in terms of the number of years, but they are not actually growing. And here, this is not just talking about growth in the number of years, but it's talking about the quality of the growth, where he's growing up in Christ in all things. He has been increasing in stature, in spiritual stature, in spiritual maturity. And what Apostle Paul says here is that when he grows in Christ, as Christ is the head, okay? And then in verse 16, from the head, from whom? From Christ. Okay? From the head, the whole body fitly joined together. This means that the whole body is connected to Christ, where it takes its direction. It finds its purpose. It finds its meaning in Christ. And the whole body is also compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Now, the word compacted here has the idea of being closely knitted. It has the idea of unity. And it's why the unity in the body of Christ is so important, one of the truths that Apostle Paul has been emphasizing in this first part of chapter 4. He says that as we build one another up, this is the kind of unity that we share. We share a common purpose. We share a common goal. We have a common doctrine. We have a common Lord whom we serve. Now, in the Old Testament national witness of Israel, Israel had the same culture. The people of Israel, they were all brought up with the same culture. They were all brought up with the same nationality. And because of that, they had the same background. They were given the same law. They acknowledged the same God. And even then, when we look at the nation of Israel, the Old Testament witness, we see that they even faced problems. Problems even in unity. You read the Old Testament, you can see how the prophets often talked about people, the children of Israel, taking advantage of one another. Now, in the New Testament church, this problem would be even more pronounced. Because the New Testament church, this New Testament witness, those who form the church, they all come from different backgrounds. They come from different upbringing. They come from different nationality. They are of different races. They have different culture. Some of them have different past religious practices. So after they are born again, yes, they may now worship Christ. But when they were heathens, before they were born again, they worship their own form of idols. And Apostle Paul will also speak of the different educational level. He will talk about some who are Greeks and then others who are barbarians. That is the educated and the uneducated. Then there will be those who are of different social standing. In our modern terms, we call this social economical status, right? Social economic status, the SES. And there are people who are of different background. And we see this even in our church today. All of us are different. There are some who are of different nationality. We are of different backgrounds. We have different culture. And then we all come together. And then how to have this unity, which is why Apostle Paul says this unity is very important. It is not just, it cannot be our hobbies that unite us. It cannot be our common interests that unite us. It must be the Lord Jesus Christ that unites us. And so Apostle Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ must be the head. which the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, where we also find our source in Christ. The whole body finds its energy, finds its zeal in Christ, where now, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, that means that every member of the body of Christ, they would play their part. The effectual working there means the very energetic working. Every member of the body of Christ must play their part that will make the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So as every member of the body of Christ plays their part, it will result in the increase, in the growth of the body of Christ unto the building up of itself. Now this is very wonderful, because if we can see and recognize that we have the Lord Jesus Christ who is our head, we would have a common purpose. We would have a common goal. We would have a common direction. We would have a common understanding. You will not have one part trying to run in one direction and another heading in a different direction. You will not have the mind thinking one thing and then the feet going in a different direction. But if now all strive together in unity, then it would lead to the increase, the growth of the body of Christ. And this is where every member, every part of the body of Christ must fulfill its purpose. There will not be competition. There will not be jealousy. There will not be envy. There will not be bitterness. But there's a striving towards the same direction. If you see another ministry in the church thriving by the grace of God, but then you see your own ministry, not because of the lack of faithfulness, nor not because of your laziness, but just because no matter how you have been striving, the Lord just does not send an increase at this time. Then how would you feel? Would you also rejoice that you are still heading in the same direction for the glory of God, for the building up of the body of Christ, for the testimony of Christ? You will still rejoice in that. And this must be the common purpose. Now, if the members of the body of Christ begin to fight within itself, and oftentimes this kind of fighting, you know, the disunity, one of the greatest causes of disunity within the body of Christ would be the every wind of doctrine, the sleight of men, the cunning craftiness. When these things creep in, what it results in is disunity, strife, conflict, the breaking up of the church. And that's why it goes back to what the Apostle Paul says has been provided for us. The gifts especially focusing on the ministry of the word. This is the tool, the equipment that God has given to the body of Christ. And the purpose of it is for the perfecting, the equipping us to continue to strive and to live this Christian life as a witness for the Lord, for the building up of one another. And this striving must be going on and on. You know, when Apostle Paul says, till we come in the unity of faith, we realize that this is something that we have to continue striving for until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Because we know that while we are on earth, we are not perfect. And while we are on earth, we need to keep growing, keep learning, constantly being reminded, constantly also, if we realize that we have been wrong, to then change and grow. That's what we have to continue on until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. But as we strive on, do you know the dangers that you are going to face? One of the most dangerous things we are facing in our age and time is that the world today is also found in the church. You know, there was a time when the Apostle Paul spoke of how the church turned the world upside down. But today we see how the world has turned the church upside down. And even today when we think of Christians, the name Christian does not mean what it used to mean in the days of the Apostle Paul to be a Christian.
Today, the church no longer carries the same sense that it did in the days of the Apostle Paul. When people think of Christian churches, it includes cults, it includes the charismatics, it includes the Roman Catholics, it includes all these other movements. What is the church today? And with this kind of deception and this distortion and this confusion, is especially why we need to be properly equipped. We need the perfecting in the body of Christ so that we can be protected in the body of Christ, that we can continue to progress on and to grow in the body of Christ. Has this church been growing as a body of Christ? Have we increased in our witness, in our testimony, as the light where we shine for the Lord Jesus Christ? When others think of this church, what will they think of this church? What will they remember about this church? Will they remember merely that this church, by the grace of God, has a nice building? Will they just think of this church as, by the grace of God, being one of the biggest BP churches in Singapore today? But what will they think of this church? Will they think of this church as a worldly church? Will they think of this church as a comfortable church? Or will they think of this church as one that is growing, constantly building one another up, constantly encouraging one another, constantly manifesting love, the motive of love being behind every act of service, being behind every word that is spoken? Can they see this even in this church? The body of Christ, a wonderful picture. Now, God has not asked us as Christians to live this life alone, but He has given us the community of believers, the body of Christ, where we can strive together in faith unto the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, how we thank Thee that Thou hast given us a wonderful and free salvation. And even after we are saved in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we also have the body of Christ, the church, the communion of saints, where we can build one another up, we can remind one another, encourage one another, and continue to grow in Thy word together. O Lord, we thank Thee that we are not asked to live this Christian life alone, but we can walk together as a body of Christ, even in this very difficult and trying world. O Lord, we pray that Thou wilt forgive us, because there are times when we see even Thy church being filled with strife, bitterness, envy, jealousy, how we know that this has brought shame unto Thy name. But we thank Thee, as Thou art our merciful God, as Thou hast given us Thy word, we can continue to strive in the unity of faith. We can continue to progress on in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can even be who Thou want us to be, to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ fully, completely in our lives. O Lord, help us, we pray, for we know that this is a strife that will be ongoing. It's something that we have to keep striving for, even until our Savior returns again for us. O Lord, at times we find ourselves so weak, but we trust in Thy divine enabling, in Thy guiding and in Thy help. And we thank Thee that Thou hast also given to us Thy precious word, which guides us, which shows us the way that we ought to walk. Help us, O Lord, we pray. We thank thee for all these things, praying in Jesus' name. Amen.